thank you for reminding me. And Janet's not here to pray, so I'm going to ask Beth. Cool manifestations that God said that we are to trust him, because that's what we're going to look at today. So this is a real difficult teaching. I'll tell you what, a little extra bonus here. Let's go to Psalm 12. We'll open there. Sid, a couple weeks ago, taught on the peace of God. I actually did a couple teachings on it. But one thing that he mentioned is that there's two kinds of peace. The first kind of peace comes when you and I get born again. It says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and if you need further instruction on that, you can read Ephesians chapter 2. It explains how God took both and he brought peace with his son Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Okay, that's not what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the second kind of peace. And that peace comes through an adherence to the words of God, which words are trustworthy words. And God says that here in Psalm 12. He says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver, verse 6, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, talking about God keeping his words. And that word keep there means that he puts a hedge around them. You know what a hedge is? It's his protection. That he's preserving these words for you and I, that, you know, no one's touching them because they're his words, and they're pure words. And it says, and thou shalt preserve them or attend to them, is another way that that word is translated, that God's going to bring them to pass. Okay, he's going to preserve them and he's going to bring them to pass in your and my life from this generation and forever. So therefore, his words are trustworthy words. When mankind, you can write someone a check, and that check can be bad, can't it? You take it to the bank, and that thing goes boing, 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 boing all over the place. God's never bounce, okay? God is a sure God. God is a trustworthy God, and we're going to see that in his word today. So it comes from an adherence of the word of God, which is our application. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll show this to you. I'm in the wrong place again. I do this all the time. I don't know why I get this. Yeah, 2 Peter, I'm sorry. I do this all the time. You could ask my fellowship. This scripture always evades me, but it's a great scripture. Okay, verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 1 says, grace and peace be added unto you. No, multiplied. So it's not just like a little blessing, but it's a huge blessing. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay, so where are you going to get the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ is Lord? Are you going to get that from reading the newspaper or going on the internet and looking at the news? Or Facebook tell you a lot about that? Twitter? No, you get it from the Word of God. Okay, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, once again, through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. So there you go. It takes some adherence. It takes some application. You need the word, but then you have to apply it in your life, okay? You have to do the work. How about that? Isn't that something? Work, a four-letter word in our vocabulary. But it's not just that also. It's also, this peace is also talking about keeping the peace in the church of God, okay? That when you have this and you're applying it in your life, that you become an example of what it is to be a Christian believer. And you inspire other people to want to be that way, to want to live that lifestyle and within the church. And then you look out for one another. You know, we call each other up. What can I do to bless you? You know, I have a need. JJ fixes my snowblower. You know, I mean, I don't ask the guy, but he's, bro, I'll help you. You know, that's the way we are. We look out for one another, you know, and we take care of one another. And then also, it's an outpouring of that peace and grace in your life. When that's in your life and it becomes part of your lifestyle, then you reach out to others. Okay? And we're going to see that in this man's life that we're going to look at today. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Well-read section in almost everyone's Bibles. Psalms, Proverbs. We spend a lot of time in Psalms and Proverbs in our fellowship. But that's good because it's God teaching you his words of understanding and wisdom. Proverbs especially. That's what Solomon wrote it for. Verse 1 says, "My son," or you, if you're a female, you could say my daughter. Doesn't matter. "Forget not my word." So in other words, God wants you to remember his words. So that means it takes some application, right? "But let thine heart keep my commandments." And again, that word commandments could be do it with your whole heart. And we're gonna see later on the group of people that do this. "For check out these benefits. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you." Pretty good benefits. You know, when you get a job, and you're discussing the salary and everything, you usually ask, "Hey, you guys have a benefit package?" And they're like, "Well, yeah, we have a 401k and, we have medical and all that." And, there's no guarantee with any of that because that can all change. You know, I think most of us have seen our medical expenses and our check go way up compared to what they used to be. You know, so that's the way man is. He's variable, but God's not. See, isn't that cool? And he promises that these are things that you will add to your life as you keep his word in his heart. And he says, "Let." So let means allow. Allow it. You have to allow that word, okay? "Allow not mercy or kindness and truth to forsake thee." You put it on. You put it on in your life. "But bind them about thy neck." Bind them. That means like, what a binder is? You ever see a chain binder on a truck hold down a load? That's a pretty strong thing. That's the mind pictures. See, God's very beautiful in his word. "Write them upon the table of thine heart." That takes some action on your behalf. You write them upon your heart. "So thou shalt find grace and good understanding in the sight of God and man." That's pretty cool. Not just in the sight of God, but you're going to become an example to mankind too. The people around you are going to be like, "There's something pretty cool about this person. You're a little bit different." It's that sweet-smelling savor of the grace of God that's alive in your life. Then it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." God is into heart, okay? You could fool everybody. You could put on that fake Christian persona. "I love you, love you, love you." But you don't fool God. You don't fool yourself either. You may fool a lot of us, but, we're to trust in God with all our heart. And then this word lean is cool. It says, "And lean not unto thine own understanding." This word lean is the Hebrew word shawan, S-H-A-W-A-N, not Sean. He's a good guy, but he ain't this good. He's going to listen to this and go, "Thanks, Dad." And that means that we are to rely, we're to trust, we're to lean upon God, not upon our two-bit understanding. Because when we do things God's way, it's going to be beautiful. When we do things our way, sometimes you may get through okay, and sometimes you don't. it's good to have wisdom, okay? I went to school. I learned a lot about environmental science and stuff, so I know a lot about different things, and I apply that wisdom that I've learned in my life. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, but when it comes to situations and circumstances in life, we should always check with God first, because when we lean on our own ways, lots of times it doesn't get done God's way, and we want to do it God's way. Then it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall be the director." Let God be the director. We all made a commitment years ago when we accepted Christ as Lord. We said, "I ain't driving the bus anymore. You're driving. I'm just a passenger." Okay? But lots of times we like to take the wheel. it's his game. We're just a happy player along the way, which is cool. All right. Let's go to verse 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of these are better than the merchandise of silver. I kind of think silver's pretty cool. And it gained better than fine gold. Not just regular gold, but really good gold. I don't know the difference. I guess there's carats and stuff. Not C-A-R-R-O-T. C-A-R-A-T. She's like, what are you talking about? Vegetables? You with us, kid? No? Okay. Sleepy? It's all right. Verse 15. It says, she. Oh, this is you. She is more precious than rubies. Just like a virtuous woman. But it's talking about wisdom here. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So whatever, like, really floats your boat can't compare it to the wisdom of God. And here's this benefit package again. Look at this. Length of days is in her right hand. Not too bad. That's pretty good. And in her left hand are riches and honor. Pretty cool. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. That's nice. I like pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. How about that? So God's ways are pretty darn good, aren't they? I think we should listen to him. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 50. I like this little verse. I was listening to a teaching by a gentleman out in Harrisburg, and I stole some of this from him, I'll be honest with you. But it's God's word, so it's cool. Jimmy Nichols. And he taught this verse, and I thought it was fantastic. Chapter 50, verse 10, it says, who among you is among you that fears the Lord? Doesn't mean that you go, ooh, but you're like, wow, God, yeah, he's cool. That obeyeth the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness and have no light. If that's your life, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay. This word stay is that same word lean that we saw before, shalom. To lean upon his God. You know, don't walk in darkness in life. Lean upon God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire and in sparks that ye have kindled. What the heck does that mean? I'll explain it to you. You know how that is, that verse in Psalm 119 that says the word is a light to my path and a lamp unto my feet? Okay. What this is talking about is in the Orient, what they would do, they didn't have flashlights, okay, and they weren't going to carry around torches all the time, but what they would do is they would get a piece of rope, and they would light it, and they would drop sparks on the path as they went. So they were walking in their own light, okay? Basically, they were leaning onto their own understanding, what God's saying, my light's so much better, you know, look to me. Isn't that cool? That's it. That let me be your stay in life. Let me be your path. Let me be the director. Yeah, pretty cool. All right, so let's finally get to Asa. Second Chronicles. Asa's a pretty cool guy. And he's a good example of this in life. We're going to see where he leaned upon God and where he didn't lean upon God. Second Chronicles chapter 14. And we're going to start off in verse 8. And Asa talks about him that he did good. If you look at verse 2, it says, and Asa did which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. So he's one of the good kings. Okay, there were good kings and there were bad kings. All right, he was a good king. In verse 8, it says, and Asa had an army of men that bare targets. Not like, you know, like that's a hell of a... birthmark. Thank you. You ever see that cartoon with the deer with the birthmark of a target on its side? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a shield, okay? They carried shields, and those shields in those days would also have like a spear on the end. So they were good for protection, but also defense if you got into a close fight. I forget what it was called. It's like if you ever seen the old German helmet, it had like the little thing on the top. It was like that, okay? What was that? A buckler. Thank you. It was a buckler. That's when it talks about your shield and buckler. Okay? So it's an offensive and a defensive weapon. And they also had spears. We all know what spears are. And they're asparagus. Out of Judah, 300,000. It's a pretty good size army. All right? And out of Benjamin, that bear shields and drew bows. And that doesn't mean they drew rainbows. All right? It's not the Rainbow Coalition. But it meant that they were new bow and arrow. Okay? They were archers. Okay? 240,000. And all were mighty men of valor. All right? So these guys were proven warriors. All right? So he had basically 280,000 people on his side. All right? Pretty good. Not a bad army. Okay? But, look at verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, not her, with a host of 1,000,000. What's 1,000,000?
A million.
I was going to ask one of the kids to tell us. Okay, but that's all right. You guys are God's kids. And 300 chariots, not chariots. You know what chariots were? They were the tanks of their days. Okay, and these guys were tiger tanks. They were the best. You know, they were M1A1s. Okay, they were the top dogs at the time. You know, and this would put fear in people. Not a good thing. Whew. So now he's got to make a decision. You know, am I going to lean on my own understanding? Or am I going to lean upon God? Let's see what happens. Verse 10. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array. They should have set it in a valley or something. Oh, array in the valley, okay, of Zerah at Mereshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is what? Nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we shall on. We rely, we trust, we lean upon thee, and in thy name, and we go against the multitude. O Lord, thou art God, let no man prevail against thee. And they lost miserably. No, they went out, they kicked butt, and they took names. You can finish reading it on your own. Talk about a million-man march, you know. This was a serious thing, but they leaned upon God. God said, lean on me when you're not strong. And they did. Okay, I didn't get paid for my singing. I'll stop. All right, let's go to verse 15. Chapter 15, I'm sorry. It says, and, okay, after all this wonderful stuff happened and they carried away all this spoil and treasure from these guys, it says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Oded. That's not a good name to have. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye, Asa, and all Benjamin and Judah, the Lord is with you. That's pretty good news. I like this guy. Okay. While ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law, without the word of God. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. You know, they had a desire. What did they do? They did some work, didn't they? The people did it. It wasn't just Asa. All right? They sought God. And in those times, there was no peace to him, none that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants and of the countries. And the nations were destroyed. The nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. And, of course, that's the Orientalism. It means that, you know, he removed his hand of blessing upon their life, and the adversary just rack and ruined them. Okay? They were still his people, and if they turned to him, he would turn back to them. That's what he's telling them. Now he goes on to say, be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for the work shall be rewarded. See, I told you it was work. See? Bad word in our vocabulary, but, you know, that's what it takes. Just anything. It takes a little bit of work. It takes some effort. Life ain't given to you. Verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he was encouraged. You think that'd bless him? Sure it would. Sure it would. Reminds me of Joshua in chapter 1 of Joshua. God tells him, be strong and of a good courage. You know, that I'm going to be with you like I was with Moses. And this is basically what he's telling Asa here. You know, I got your back. You know, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be your God. I'll turn back to you as long as you stay with me. And he put away the abominable idols out of all Benjamin and Judah, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. He does some really cool stuff for these people in rebuilding things. Let's go to verse 13, because time is marching on here. So they make a commitment to God. Am I in the right place? Yeah, 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with it with all their heart. And they sought him with all their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them, what word do you think that is? Shawan, right. He gave them rest round about. You know, because they lied, well, excuse me, it's not that word, but he gave them rest round about from all that was going on. See what one man's inspiration did there? Asa and his example, he turned out a whole country around because of his heart for God. Pretty neat. Also didn't hurt that he was the king. You know, you did what the king said, or things fell off a man. Now, unfortunately, after all this wonderful stuff, he forgets something here. Chapter 16, verse 1, it says, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, so he was around a while, Baasha, king of Israel, he's in charge of the people up north, Judah's down south, okay, he came up against Judah, and he built this city called Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So it was basically, he was, what do they call that? Not barricading, but when you, laid siege on Judah, that no one was going to go, you know, he was going to control the trade, everything, you know. And Asa was shaking in his shorts. It says, Asa brought out the silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus. Now, who did that belong to? Was that his stuff? No. He took God's money. That's not right. And he said to, who did he go to? Did he go to God for his help? No. He sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. He says, wait, yeah, we've had this treaty between us. You know, my father had it with your father. I've sent silver and gold. You know, go break, you know, the treaty that you have with this Israeli king, and that he, you know, he tucks tail and runs from me. So basically, he bought him out. Let's drop down to verse 7, okay? And it says, and at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and he said unto him, because thou hast Shawan, there it is again, you trusted, you leaned on the king of Syria and not Shawan on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. And he says, wait a second, don't you remember what we did with the Ethiopians and the Lubans, who had a million men? Remember them? Remember those guys? With whom they had those tanks, you know, and the artillery and the 88s. And yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. And in this great verse, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the, to and fro. Where the heck am I from? Throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. That's a great promise of God. Wherein thou hast done, how? El stupido, they would say in my old neighborhood. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. See, so he leaned upon his own understanding and tragedy for him and those people. Pretty good guy. Did a lot of great things for God, but He messed up. And you know what? It's okay. It happens. Unfortunately, it cost a lot of people their lives. Let's go to Psalm 16. I'm sorry. So we want to put our whole heart and trust in the Lord, because our God is a trustworthy God, and our God knows the right way to go, and He promises that He'll direct our paths, and we'll have long life, we'll have peace, we'll have length of days, you know, pleasantness. I like pleasantness. Pleasantness is good. That you'll be happy. I like being blessed. That's a good thing. Psalm 16, verse 7 says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Now, He's given me advice. You know where His advice comes from? His word. Okay? My reins also instruct me in the night season. The word reins means my desires. Okay? My desires are going to be lined up with the word that I built within my heart, won't they? So when the night seasons come, when things look pretty dark and dismal, I know who my God is. I know who to trust in. Pretty cool verse, isn't it? I've set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shook. You can't move me off His word. That's what He's saying. Therefore, my heart is ecstatic. He's doing the joyous, the happy dance in His heart. Okay? And my glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope of God's word being true. Isn't that cool? He'll find great rest. And in the hope of, if you read the next verse, it's also talking about the hope of the return of the redemption of Israel later on in the book of Revelation. It says, for thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shall thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption, which is also referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 62. This is where we're going to end. Verse 5 says, my soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from Him. That someone that leans upon God, that wrote this. He only is my rock. He's the one I trust in. He is my deliverer. That's what salvation means. He's my deliverer. And He's my defense. He's my protection. You know, you don't need an alarm system in your house when you got God. You know, alarm systems fail. God never does. If you have one, that's okay. I shall not be moved. Okay? I'm staying with God. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of all my strength and my refuge is my God. You know, when stuff hits, He's the place I go. You know, I don't go running for my checkbook. I don't go hopping on the phone, you know, for my broker or whatever. You know, God is the one I go to. Okay? He's my refuge. He's my haven. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. And you know, that is a big key. You know, we've all been burnt by people. And, you know, it's just the way people are. People let people down. I mean, I love my wife dearly, but I've disappointed her before. And you know what? She's let me down once or twice, too. Believe it or not, as perfect as she is. But we need to just bear our heart, you know. God's never going to put, you know, give you the shaft. He's never going to. He's someone that you can share your inner secrets, your inner desires, and just then he wants you to do it, you know, and you really need to do it, you know. That's the person you really need to pour your heart out to, because he wants to take care of you, he wants to love you up, and then he says that God is a refuge for us, law, and that's it. So Heavenly Father, thank you for Your magnificent word, that it is a trustworthy, reliable word that You've preserved for us and that for generations and forever. And thank You, God, that we can continue to rely upon You and to walk in that peace and enjoy all those marvelous benefits that You have for our lives. and how sweet it is. We're blessed to have you as our daddy. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.